Okay, I'm going to start. So many things touched me this past... so many things touched me this week. It just, so much went on that it just, to try to pick one thing, it was, I don't know. But I'll start with worship. Worship was like, there were like 700 women there. All of them there because they wanted an encounter with God. And the worship was like, it felt like heaven came down to earth. Especially the last night there, Julie Myers was leading worship. And at the end, we were just singing, holy, 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 holy. And then Patricia King would read part of Revelation. And she'd get finished, and it was just holy, 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 holy. And it was just like, it felt like I was in heaven. Another thing that really touched me, we were going down for prayer another time. By the way, I'm a Jesus pig. anytime there was prayer down the front, most of us were down there. But I was standing in line at one point going down and so overcome by the glory of God and what he was doing in my life and seeing each one of the ladies that went as God touched them. I was weeping. I'd be weeping and then I'd stop and then I'd start weeping again because we were in line a while. But and then later that night, the joy, the laughter, it just was bubbling up. It's indescribable. And then I'm going to just share one more thing. And then last January, John and I went to a worship seminar with Julie Myers. That seminar changed my life. It was a prophecy that she gave over John and I. We were sitting in the back of the place. And God told her to come to us. He had a prophecy for us. And it was a prophecy more to me than to John about how I always sat in the back row, how I was always in the shadows, and that God wanted me to come forward. God wanted me to be the woman of God he wants me to be. So she spoke the other day. She was one of the speakers. Phenomenal. And I got to go. Later on, I saw her, and I got to go up to her and tell her how much she changed my life and how things have changed since January. And I also have to think January was the year we went into the supernatural. So, anyway.
That was my line. I would have to agree with Missy. The worship was incredible, absolutely incredible. You literally went someplace else. And what really, so much went on. I think we could all talk for hours. But the one thing that really stood out, and most of you all know, God has delivered me from a lot. But what God wants is for us to realize who we are in him. It was that I got it. I got it. Because that way we can move into our God-given destiny. He really wants us to have a present-future relationship with him, not a present-past. So, from this point on, I'm not looking back. I am looking forward, and that's the way I'm going to go.
I'm going to pass the mic for a minute. Go ahead.
That was so not fair. That wasn't even close to fair. Well, the conference was called Beautiful One, and I was surrounded by beautiful ones, my sisters, my friends, your sisters, your wives, and it was an honor to be with such a godly bunch of women who were so hungry and so thirsty for more. Missy had two rules when she gathered us together last week to sort of tell us the plans. She said, I don't want any negativity, and I want you to go 100% laying yourself down, seeking God and what he will do in and through you. And, you know, we followed the directions. They were great directions, and God really met us there. We got locked into the gaze of the one who's altogether lovely. He is truly the beautiful one. There were so many Kodak moments, so many golden nuggets, like we could talk forever. One of the huge things that came up is, do I really trust? Trust is the pathway to the King's heart. Trust is the riverbed of God's love for you. We receive favor from God to influence and expand his kingdom. God's love towards me is forever, and it's certain, and there's nothing I can do about it. Trust is a choice, but love is surrender. And I have decided in my heart to be wholly, wholly surrendered. Life is short. What have I been saved for? I want to dive deep. I must live all of my destiny because his blood paved the way for me. Seek first the kingdom. The world has not seen enough Jesus in me to know if they really want him or not. I want to change that. Lord, let me be known all around by my love. Let Jesus shine through me for his glory. My destiny and your destiny, beloved, supersedes any mistake or any failure that you or I have ever made. His blood was more than enough. His love is more than enough. You can get lost in that love. You can trust that love forever. Just say no to every toxic thought, every malignant mouth movement that says, can't, won't, never. It's not kingdom, beloved. I am who God says I am. I can do what he says I can do, and I can have what he says I have. Every day, always say yes to God. God can do anything with the man, woman, or child who will say yes to him. It can change nations. It can change the world. Lord, yes and amen. Most of the time, the tiny little yeses in your life can catapult you to extreme greatness for his glory. A few speakers spoke about Esther. Esther is very special to me. Last year I had a ruptured Achilles tendon, but I knew the moment that I got the injury, it was not about my foot. I knew it was about my heart because my heart was breaking in so many pieces. And God said to me in the kitchen, I was in my wheelchair and I was mad because I was way down here and the counter was way up there. And God says, Darlene, I'm going to Esther-size you. So 6 months in the myrrh of death to self and 6 months in the fragrance so that when he brought Roy and I here, we could smell more like the king. So he says in Psalms 58:6-8, tellest thou my wanderings and put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? God healed my orphan spirit. The Holy Spirit. A lot of talk about the Holy Spirit, a lot of the presence of the Holy Spirit. How well do I know the third person of the Trinity? That is what I am chasing after. I want to be more intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And I would have to say that the thing that undid me and unraveled me more than anything was this tiny, tiny ribbon right here. The women of Life Center Church, they wrote out these scriptures by hand. They prayed over them for a year, and they prayed that God would give just the right scripture to just the right woman at just the right time. And Julie Meyer, she was powerful. She was a powerful worship leader. She was a powerful speaker. One thing that she said through the entire time was, "He's talking to you. He's talking to you. I'm talking to you." She would sing it. She would pray it. She would declare it. "I'm talking to you." And so when I got the scripture, it's Proverbs 31:29, and it says, "Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. You excel them all." And it was just too much. It was too much. I'm like, it can't be true. And I didn't have any tissue, so I ran out in the hallway and trying to, you know, find some kind of paper product. And I'm just, you know, I'm a wreck. And this, you know, Slade's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm great," you know. And I told her what was going on in my heart. But while I was going to get my tissue, all I could hear was, "I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you." And I'm like, can my God really, really say that to me? And he did. And that wrecked me. And I don't think I'll ever be the same. Yeah, amen. All right, Miss Stephanie or whoever.
I want to get this over. This conference for me was very personal. Look, here I go. I didn't write anything this time. I thought maybe I can get through this better. It was very personal. Every session, God spoke to me. Every conversation, every song, it was just very personal. And long time ago, I don't even want to tell you how long ago, God shut me down. And it wasn't a "I'm shut down." It wasn't a "I think God shut me down." It was "God shut me down." And it was a time where it was a healing time for my heart. It was I had gotten into where what I was doing wasn't coming from my heart. It was obligation. I had just gotten in a wrong something there, you know, and it must have been really serious because that was a long time ago. But I knew he'd shut me down, but he didn't leave me. He didn't shut me down and leave me. He just shut me down for a time of healing. And this conference was a time of completion for me. And like I said, I don't want to tell you how long it'd been, but this is a new beginning for me. If anybody knows anything about numbers and all, that's a bad sign how long it's been. But he made it very, very clear to me that this is my new beginning. And I've had this, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I don't want to do what I did before because my, you know, like I said, it got heavy. It just got heavy. I don't know how to explain. It got really heavy, and I wasn't functioning in Christ. I was serving Christ, but I wasn't serving in Christ. So I knew, and I would have prophecies, "He's going to restore it to you." And I'm like, "I don't want it back, you know, and I don't want to go there again." But I was afraid of the future. I didn't know what he was going to give me. And there's a hunger in my heart. I wanted something beyond myself, because if it's comfortable, I'm bored. But if it's beyond myself, I'm scared. So there I am. So anyway, with the little ribbon, he revealed to me my future, my next step, and it's a step into prophecy, which is like really scary to me, you know, and but it's exciting because it's outside of me. It's like, and then he revealed to me, because a lot was said about hearing from God in new ways, like dreams. And I never, ever, I've in the last few years, I had one God dream that was absolutely breathtaking, fantastic, over the top, and I loved it, and it was encouraging. But that's one in years, you know? So I was like, I never have good dreams, God dreams. And then it was like, you'll get stuff in numbers, you'll get stuff in signs. And I'm like, I'm out of it, I'm missing it. Well, last night I had a dream, and it was a God dream. And it was a wonderful, encouraging, exciting dream. And then this morning, I'm contemplating all this stuff, and he said, I've been speaking to you. He said, you know your favorite tree, and it makes me want to cry. He said, I've been speaking to you through your favorite tree. And he said, you know that bird that does the little dippity dive and goes into the pond? He said, I've been speaking to you through that bird. And I was like, he really is a good God. And he really has been speaking to me. And he has done an enormous, enormous healing in my heart. And I'm just so excited because I've been so hungry. I've gotten desperate for this new beginning. And it's been so hard to wait. I'm like, I don't want to wait, but I don't have any choice because I can't go on until I can't go on without him. And I'm not saying he wasn't there with me. Like I said, I'm not saying I've been alone. I haven't been. But the season was so necessary. My heart needed healing. And I really feel whole.
How dare us start this without Kleenex up here? Okay. We're still a little foolish. So.
Sorry, guys.
Give me one, pass it around. I know it's going to come. I am not one of those that I used to be. I used to be one of those, let me get it. I want to go up there too and all that. But things happened in my past, not in this church, I'm not blaming it, get something back to Patsy. Something happened many years ago that just really put a lot of, I don't know how to say this, not doubt, but mistrust, okay, about how the Holy Spirit moves. I saw the flesh destroy an entire ministry many years ago. I mean, I was part of a really big healing ministry out in California. I shared this with my roommates and this week, and I saw what the flesh can do. And so I always go into these things with a lot of caution. I was there to observe. Really, more than any reason. I just.
What are you saying?
Well, we all. He uses all sorts of reasons, and I'll tell you something about Gus too that just blew my mind when I came home. But anyway, I just went with a lot of, not fear, but just a little trepidation there. I just wanted to see what. Okay, I got the mic. Okay, I got the mic. This is something that happened over the week. So some of the ladies up there say, I can do this now because I've got the mic. Okay. Okay. You get the mic in a minute, okay? she was one of my roommates. So, but whatever reason God puts in your heart to go, you just go. And that's not a negative reason to go to observe. You know, taste and see what the Lord is good. I had to go and taste and see for again. You know, I'd been feeling very disconnected, not by anybody's fault or anything, but it's just the way I'd been feeling the last 6 months or years. I don't know how long it's been, but I've just been feeling very disconnected, and not a part of anything. And, of course, you know, my big thing outside of church is my agility with my dog. And I love you guys, but I do sense the glaze over the eyes when I start talking about it. Okay, I know it's there. But outside of that, I just had a real disconnection. So another reason I went, I thought, well, whoever's there, maybe I can use it as a way of reconnecting, just to get back into things again. And at breakfast on Thursday morning, I was sitting with Mary Lou, and we were how we get in these topics, only God knows how he moves us through these things. But the bottom topic, the final topic we're talking about is safe people to talk to, and how, you know, when we've turned to our own blood families, we get shut down for whatever reason we go to turn to them about something. I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but her and I had that similar experience where we were just like really just torn apart over something that, you know, our family just really got upset with us about as adults, not as kids, but as an adult. And when I just started weeping. We only had Wednesday night under our belt, and I'm already crying at breakfast. And I started telling her about what happened. Well, then it's all a blur, so I'm not sure what day I'm talking about. I don't know if it was Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, or Thursday evening, but one of the speakers started talking about the orphan spirit. And I didn't know my father. My father died when I was 3 months old. And my mother died when I was 12. And my older brothers and sisters basically raised me. But they don't raise you like a parent. They don't have that same love and nurturing in them for you that your parents would have. And God just showed me how I needed to, you know, come to him for that. He showed me the unforgiveness I was carrying in my heart still. I thought I had taken care of all of this, but there was still unforgiveness in my heart towards my family for the way that they had treated me off and on over the years. Not that they hated me, they just didn't know how to love me. And I'm just as guilty, because I know I can point to times where I didn't love them the way I should have loved them. But he just showed me a lot of this baggage I was still carrying with me. So, and then, you know, everyone's running down front to go, me, you know, and everyone's running down front. I'm sitting there going, okay, God, I don't feel like running down there. I don't. I said, am I supposed to go down there or not? And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't feel you telling me to go. What am I supposed to do? And then the speaker says, this is not for everybody. And I said, thank you. And I sat down and I just started crying. I needed to be alone. I needed him just to be him and me. You know, it's interesting that you can be alone with God in a room with 700 other women. It is possible, especially when 650 are down front. But I just this felt it all coming out, you know. And I'm not saying that he's telling me I need to go call all my brothers and sisters and ask for forgiveness. It's not that type of situation. It's just that what was not a complete work in me needed to be completed, and I had to let that out and let it go. And the whole teaching about the orphan spirit, the orphan spirit, just that was the thing, that one of those things that started everything for me, you know. And the other, another thing, I think Missy, one of you touched on it. I see this is, it's still a blur right now. The whole idea how God speaks to us. And I thought that was really cool because she was saying how, was that Patricia King that said that? Was it her? We don't know. We got the video coming. Okay, so. She talked about God does not speak English. You know, but we do that. We finite God so much. We talk about putting him in a box. I think it's even smaller than that. We have just got him in. Like he said to me today, how do you want me to meet you? You know, you're saying meet me here, but are we defining it in our brain how we want him to meet us? Do we have our checklist? This is how God is going to talk to me. This is how God is going to meet me. And he knows us. He created us, and he knows how he's going to get that message to you the best way. You know, it could be sitting at your bedroom window and looking at a glorious tree. It could be while you're talking to your friends about, you know, the word Caleb was mentioned. The name Caleb was mentioned. And I guess it was like, still kind of like, okay, Mary, I just have to trust that God really was talking to you on this. But this is the one vision I will share where that she'd been talking about Caleb. And the word Caleb, and we won't go into everything, but it does, one of its root meanings is dog. And it spoke to me. And I have been praying about how far do I take this agility thing, Lord? My dog is getting old. I mean, I could retire him any time now, and he'd be just, you know, happy. And how am I supposed to be doing? I have been praying this. What am I supposed to be doing about this? I don't have the money to run out and get another dog. And when they started telling what Caleb meant, and she talked about Caleb, the person Caleb in the Bible, how he was the one, the faithful spies that came back saying, we can take that land. We can do it. We can do it. You guys, we can really do this. And I'm sitting here listening. She talked about how he had to wait another 40 years to receive the promise of God. He had to watch all these. Him and Joshua had to watch the children of Israel die off, a whole generation die off, before they could take the land again. And then he went back and chose the land that they didn't want. He went in and he wanted Hebron. He wanted the land of the giants. You know? So during this whole thing, I'm sitting there, all of a sudden there's this picture in my head in front of me going, me walking, I don't see a dog. Okay? I'm not going to tell you that God gave me the picture of what my dog's supposed to look like. But it's like I'm looking through the dog's eyes. I'm walking up, and I'm out on an agility field, and I'm getting ready to do a course. And then I'm talking to my friends there, and I'm telling them, yeah. They say, well, why'd you name your dog Caleb? And I'm telling them who Caleb was, you know, and how God gave him his promise. He had to endure, but God gave him a promise. He fulfilled the promise of the children of Israel through Caleb. And how, and God spoke to me later how Caleb, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on. And I wasn't going to. Caleb was this guy that, God just kind of reminded me, someone reminded me, Hebron is where Rachel and Jacob, the beginning of the Israelites, is buried in Hebron. God brought him with Caleb full circle. Completed. That was a completion of that promise. It came full circle back to him. I'm like, wow. You know, so I mean, I'm telling everybody what I saw, and I'm just bawling my eyes out. You know. It was just, I was not one of those people running up, but I was,
yeah, you call yourself a Jesus pig. I was just, they have a place they call the soaking room. I was just sitting there soaking. I had to just sit there and listen. I needed a time to listen. So anyway, and then the ribbons, the scripture, they're all, I forgot my Bible, okay? I left it at home. Now, I don't know if I left my Bible at home or God let me forget it, okay? It does put a cramp in your style when you're trying to look up scripture. But the night they handed out the ribbons, I was sitting next to Stephanie, and I was praying. I said, okay, God, whatever scripture you got for me. And they had them on a little plate. They had them on these plates. Silver platter, excuse me. Well, whatever. I'm looking at the ribbon, not the platter. And it comes, and as it's coming to me, it's like, that's your ribbon right there. That's yours. And I just picked it up. It was like slightly buried. So I pick it up. I almost dropped a bunch of it as I picked it up. And I'm holding on to it. I looked at it. I said, okay. And I'm not telling you what it is because it was really, this is something I'm letting the Lord work in me. Stephanie knew I didn't have my Bible, so she opens up her Bible to hand it to me so I could look up my scripture. And I take it from her, and it's right there. Oh, yeah. Wow. It's right there. I got the mic. I mean, I looked at her and said, did you look at my ribbon? She says, no. And I mean, the tears just started falling as I read the scripture and I was reading it. She goes, what? And I said, you opened it up right to the scripture. So then after I read it and I had it back to her, she's like testing to see if she could do it. She couldn't, you know, but I mean, that was that my little miracle there that just blew me away. And our whole little group was going, oh, my gosh. And they know what my scripture is. So I do have a little accountability in there built in. But I'm going to wait for the Lord to – he's got a time for me to reveal it, and it's not today. But anyway, okay, I got to sit down and let somebody else. Come here, honey. Oh, I don't know. I don't need any more of that stuff. Oh, no more. I came cautiously too, because I know sometimes people can get a little weird at these things, and so. And
you were worried about what?
I don't know. You know, because I didn't get a little crazy. And it's so funny because one of the speakers says, you will find an encounter with God in the most unlikely places. And it's like, oh, okay. And then a speaker came on. And she was the craziest, most wild-eyed. She said she'd been on a permanent drunken trip with the Lord for 15 years. And she acted like it. And I'm like, but her integrity, Georgia, who's not here, she knows her. And anybody can testify, this woman's like this 24/7. It's not an act. She's not just trying to pump you up. She eats the word of God for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all her snacks, and then the night and the morning. She travels with 30 translations everywhere she goes just to study the word of God daily. So I really felt, wow, I think I can trust her with what she's going to say. And that was my unlikely place with this woman going, wow, woo, yeah, and she's jumping all around just acting crazy. But, whoa, what she said was amazing. And what she said was simple. And I'm like, why can't I get, and I don't even know I'm going to say this, and you're probably going to say, oh, yeah, we've heard that before. But no, I don't think I ever got it before. You know, anybody who talks to me maybe can get just a little inkling. You talk to me, but there's like a, yeah, da, 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 you know. Yeah, but, da, 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 da.
And, you know, somebody does something. It's just, you know, one of those nasty things that you're brought up with. Nothing, you know, maybe you have a parent that says, you're never good enough. It's not good enough. You cleaned your room. Oh, well, that's okay. And I've been putting that on my kids, too, you know. You know, I've realized, you know, oh, that's a great job. Did you do, you know, and come back with something? You know, there's always a little but there. And I've lived my life in that little but kind of thing. Like, yeah, but, and I talked, if anybody knows me, they'll know. There's just a hint of, it's not good enough anyway, so, you know. And it was basically a lack of joy. And God showed me and gave me permission through that crazy woman that I can have joy. Have it abundantly, 24/7. And because there was a barrier. Her key verse was 1 Corinthians 2:2, and she says she's been studying that for 15 years. I'm just going to read it real quick. And it's simple, and you've heard it. This is the Amplify. That's what she used. For I resolve to know nothing. Isn't that simple? I don't have to know a daggone thing. I can be acquainted with nothing. I to make a display of knowledge of nothing. I'd be totally stupid. To be conscious of nothing. Nothing on my behalf. Nothing that I can do. Nothing I can say. Nothing among you except Jesus Christ the Messiah and him crucified. I was guilty of doing what she said, being part of the holiness program, that I'm sure I could do something more. I mean, it is my job to come to the cross, right? 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 We are to just take it to the cross, honey. Remember? Take it to the cross? No, we're not. We don't have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. We're dead to sin. And that just spoke to me. To dead to sin. And it's not a program I have to go to. It's not, in my case, a diet I have to subscribe to. It's not anything that I have to work on. It was done 2,000 years ago, so why am I sweating it? I mean, it was so freeing to realize I have access to the throne room of God. I don't have to do it. And he gave me permission to say, and I give you joy abundantly, because you don't have to worry about any of that. We put so many barriers. We put it on ourselves that it's our job. And all that is, the scripture he says, when he said, and I looked it up, but oh well, that he says, pick up your cross, deny yourself. And deny, she says, lose sight of one's self. Get yourself out of the equation. It is not about you. Deny whatever you want, think you can do about it. Deny it. It's not you. It's self-righteousness. And I don't know if you realize it, but I look a little happy today. And I'm like, well, Lord. And I came home to, you know, you're ready to come home to God. Oh, my gosh, what I came home to was disaster. Nothing. My husband was so sweet. He tried to do all the dishes and tried to. But every person other than the baby was covered with chiggers. And we had to deal with this till like 11:30 at night to de-mite everybody and make them good. And it was just a mess. Do you think that dampened anything? I went to bed happy, joyful. I didn't have to let my circumstances define what God did on the cross for me. I didn't have to diminish my life because his completed work happened 2,000 years ago. And isn't that awesome? So, and I danced harder than I did in my clubbing days, too. And so that's why I wore my tennis shoes. You'll see them on no matter what I wear. So I love these guys. I love God. And I just want to thank him for opening my eyes to something I've missed out on for so long. And if you see me downcast, you have my permission to beat me into submission.
I don't even really know what I'm going to say, because I couldn't write it down. My printer's out of ink, so. I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit. But I was so blessed. The idea for this conference came from a young woman, one of the women that was up there that worked there, was part of the school. And it was to affirm women as who they were in Christ. And so many times as women, you know, and men, but we're born into this world that is, it doesn't belong to Satan, but we are born slaves to him. And he's a mean slave master. And he causes all kinds of bruises in our life that help us to lose our identity and know who we are. And this conference was letting these women know who they were in Christ, and that when God looks at them, he doesn't look at them as they are. He looks at them through the finished work of Christ, and he loves them with a passionate love, and that each one is precious and important to him. In that conference, there were beautiful women that the world would say were truly beautiful. There were tall women, thin women, fat women, ugly women. You know, they were on the outside. But, you know, the Bible tells us that God doesn't look upon the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And God was telling them every one of them was a part of his beautiful bride. And he was ministering to each person. It was so wonderful to see. And among us who were there, there was such a growing unity and a feeling of bonding together and getting to know one another. It was really, truly precious. And God would do little things for each person, you know, that was just special for them. He gave Patsy and I a room where we had a bed to ourselves, which we were thanking him every night. It was just so good, you know. And one of the things in the... but they loved being together. You know, they loved the wild parties. But, you know, we liked being able to go to bed at night and get to sleep. So, you know, God took into consideration everybody's personality and what they wanted and what they needed. And, you know, I've always had an affinity for Leah. And even we as Christians, when we read the Bible, we put our own take on it. And I've heard so many people, when they were preaching, put Leah down and call her ugly and all that kind of stuff. But as I read her story and read it over and over again and began to observe some things, Leah wasn't wanted. Nobody wanted her, you know, and she must have always felt that, you know, Rachel was really beautiful. She was also a beautiful person. You know, Rachel was a beautiful person, but so was Leah. But because of her outward appearance, something wrong with her eyes, nobody wanted her. But as I read about Leah, I find something really wonderful. God wanted her. God wanted her. He had a specific purpose for her. When she first got married and she had her first baby, she called him Reuben because she said, "Now my husband will love me." And every time she had a baby, she would say, "Now this will identify me. Now I will have identity." Until she came to Judah and she named him Praise. She said, "Now I'll praise the Lord." And she began to find her identity in Jesus and God, in her God. And do you know that Judah was the progenitor of the Messiah? She probably felt like she was worthless, but God saw something in her. He saw beauty in her that man didn't see. And when Rachel died, she was the one that was left. And when she died, she was buried with Jacob. She was buried as his wife. God saw something in her. And he sees something in every one of us that we don't see in ourselves, you know. And the world can make us feel that we are not, you know, we're not this, we're not that, we're not, we're, or we're too this, or we're too that, we're too fat, we're too tall, we're too short, we're, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know about you, but when I look back in my life, I see all those thoughts in my mind. You know, when I was 15, I wanted to become an airline stewardess, but at that time, you couldn't be an airline stewardess if you were over 5'7". So I was too tall, you know, and there was been a lot of those twos in my life. But when I found Jesus, you know, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And this was a celebration of the love of Jesus for his daughters, for his, you know, and you're all part of the bride of Christ, for his bride. Whether you're a man or a woman, you're all part of the bride of Christ. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful, the things that we learned, they told us when you get back home, don't just take and forget everything you've learned here, the things that you've, not learned, but the things you've received, because a lot of what we were getting was revelation. It wasn't just, you know, a teaching. It was coming to individuals in, things were being revealed to them that they personally needed to know about who they were in Christ. And I just came home with a desire, like I think someone else said, to really, really know the Holy Spirit more and more. And my question is, Lord, who am I in the body of Christ? Because we all have a special place. We all have, you know, we might be an elbow. Maybe that's why we're not gorgeous. You know, we're not the eyes and the face. We're just an elbow. But, you know, try getting along without your elbow, you know. Or your big thumb, you know. They used to cut people's thumbs off so they couldn't. You know, we're all important, and we're all precious to God. And I'm sure God spoke individually to everybody some secret little thing, you know, that they did. But the kind of thing that really broke my heart was a story that I'm not sure who it was. I think it might have been Patricia King. And she said that she had a vision one day. It was either a vision or a dream. And she saw this church, and outside the church was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And he was sitting on the curb, and he was sitting like this with his head down. And she said, "Why are you sitting here? Why don't you go into the church?" And the Holy Spirit said, "They don't want me in there. They don't want me in there." And we can't make it without the Holy Spirit. You know, the Old Testament is about the Father, and the Gospels are about Jesus when he was here on earth. But this is the age of the Holy Spirit. This is the age where the Paraclete was sent to indwell us and to teach us and to guide us and to lead us into all truth. We cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. And my heart's desire is that we will never come into this church without welcoming the Holy Spirit come in and reveal himself to us and lead us and guide us and to all truth. We need the Holy Spirit, and I just pray that in this church he'll never sit out there in the parking lot, that he'll be here.
Where did Stephanie go? Where's she? Oh, we're going to take her up to the attic next. We're going to put her in charge of cleaning out that attic. Boy, yeah, Stephanie, do we have some hoarding for you? Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. And Mary Lou, I had signed up for the stream so I could tune in once in a while. I just wanted to see if I could catch you guys in the audience. But one of the first people I saw was the woman you were talking about. And frankly, she was a little jarring for me also. I was like, okay. But let me testify to this. Her theology was spot on. Spot on. Right out of Wayne Grudem's book. I had a message that I had prepared today just in case. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying you're not going to need it, but I like to be prepared. This thing is a mirror reflection of everything that has been said today, from the witnessing to Laura Beth's testimony, to the testimony of the ladies who went to the conference, to the theology that was expressed that has been shared today and hinted at. But I'm a merciful man, so I'm going to save this for next week. But this way you'll get a double dose. God has been so good. Jennifer, isn't God good? Oh, my goodness, girl. Jennifer, do you have a testimony that you'd like to share today? You don't have to.
Guys, how you doing? So as we know, I've had a really, anybody who knows me knows this has been a really, really rough year. But God is good. Yes. And God brought me here because he knew where I belong, in a church full of a whole lot of recovering addicts. And God finally brought me to the end of myself. I've been on pills for 10 very long years. The last 3 months of my doing pills was, I'm not trying to say I was trying to kill myself. I'm just saying I don't think I wanted to be alive at all. But God is good, and he brought me where I needed to be, and I am now 37 days pill free. But that's only because of him, because there's no way. No way, by myself. So yes, God is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. That lady is dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. And nothing can change or alter that fact. That is established in the heavens. Praise God. I'm going to preach me some Neil Anderson next week, boy.
You know how I know a lot of the recovery is take it day by day. Yeah. One of the quotes we got as a group was, kind of ties in with Stephanie saying, just little things you write down day by day, step by step, choice by choice, and yes by yes. Just keep saying yes day by day. Amen. Choice by choice.
Hallelujah. Praise God.